Father, I thank you so much, Father, for this joy that we have, this eternal life inside of us, Father, your word written in our heart. We thank you, Father, that we live our life according to the kingdom principles by faith. We learn in this place, Father, that we keep kingdom principles, Father, whether we feel like it or not. That's love, Lord. Keeping the word of God when we only feel like it and don't keep it when we don't feel like it, Father, that's partiality. And we're not qualified to be disciples or soldiers in this great, great outpouring that's coming, Father. So I thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for Jesus. And we thank you for each other, Lord. We thank you, Father, for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You probably are already. Hallelujah. We're going to have a good time. I'm a real good time. Hallelujah. Before we go into the word, you can be turning to 1 John, probably chapter 5. Malene did remind me of a lady that was run over, I think last week, by a tractor, I believe, and the migrant worker in the fields, and was run over accidentally, and she went on to be with the Lord. Malene says she had ministered to her, and that the lady says she knew Jesus. So, amen, we rejoice in that. But we know that at times like this, you know, families, they wonder, why God, why my mom? You know that most Christians, and so many Christians, believe that God is in charge of all things and in control of all things. There's only one little problem with that statement. Just one problem. It's just not biblical. You can't find me a chapter and a verse in God's word that says that God is in charge of all things. If that were the case, then he would never ask me to believe his word. Never, never ask me. This is the thing. If God were in charge of all things, and you tell that to the 100,000 Haitians that were killed a few years ago in that earthquake, you tell that to the parents of the little kids that were killed in that earthquake, that God is in charge of all things. That is, it sounds so logical and it sounds so true, but it is straight from the pit of hell. Why would I want to serve a God that woke up on Tuesday morning and killed my son? Because he's in charge. That is not biblical at all. I don't care what your mother told you or your father or your pastor from your old church. They're dumb. In nice terminology, they're just dumb. And if you believe it, you're dumb too. Anyway, that is just, it's not biblical. It is not biblical. And that's why people want nothing to do with God. Who would be happy with a God that put cancer on my four-year-old? Oh, hey, guess what, Homer? Ah, David, cancer. Oh, my God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I take it that John 10 is not in your Bible that says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to him and have life and life more abundantly. That's all I need. There's a lot more, but that's all I need for ammunition. God is not in control of all things. He is not in control of all things. He is God, but we have a free will choice. And right now we lift up that family because there's questions. Our prayer should be that men or women of God are sent into their life to present the true gospel of Jesus Christ and there not be a reproach in God's kingdom. Because there's a lot of flakes out there, man, that have no clue of who God is. And, well, God needed another flower in heaven. So he had a woman run over by a tractor because he needed a flower in heaven. Does that even sound right to you? It does to the religious mind. Think about it. Well, God just needed another flower in heaven. Oh, by the way, man, I'm gonna run you over with the tractor because I need you in heaven. Oh, my God. If that's what you believe about God, you don't have a clue of who he is. A clue of who he is. So I pray to God that our thinking isn't like that in this church. Because you can't find in the New Testament anything that supports that life from the pits of hell. So that we just pray that godly laborers be sent into their family to minister the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And the peace of God would just saturate their mind, because it's not fun losing a loved one. Amen. So thanks, Malene, for bringing that up, and praise God that Malene ministered Jesus to him. Amen. Well, if you would, I'm going to go through 1 John a little bit. If there's anything I desire in God's kingdom, it's to walk in the love of God. It's, you know, really, that's just what I desire. I get frustrated with myself more than I should. You hear a lot of Christians, you know, you can carry a conversation with a Christian, and you can know, because they'll tell you what their strong points are. They'll tell you. I mean, sometimes it may not seem like there's anything behind it, but what a Christian does, he'll tell you. And not so many words, but he'll tell you. I've been told before, and I've said things before, my righteousness has been tongues in the word. And I've talked about it from the pulpit, but I've heard Christians tell me, Homer, don't condemn yourself because you don't fast that much. Well, this was years ago. But actually what that person was saying was he was applauding himself because he did fast, or she did fast. You know, don't condemn yourself. Don't feel bad. I've had people tell me, well, I'm just a flat out faster. I just fast. Well, that person's not married anymore. I've had Christians brag on tongues. I've had Christians brag on their strength being meditation. I've heard Christians brag that my strength is in confession. Well, you know what our strength needs to be? The love of God. Now, all that assists us walking in his love. I would be ignorant to say different, but let your hope and let what you strive for every day to walk in the love of God. That should be what we live for. And the love of God is not understood. I'm on my way to understanding it, but there's still excuses in my life. And the love of God, if it's not understood, or we don't know what the love of God is, then how can we walk in it? We can't, because we don't know what it is. One of my friends from Texas sent me a message by, I'm not going to say who, he's been mentioned around us a couple of times, and these two men, there's a man and there's one that calls him his spiritual father. And I heard some teachings about this man, and he's got a good message about love, a real good message. But at the same time, I heard this man, very eloquent in speech. He knows God's word. He walks in a lot of power. Well, the Holy Ghost walks in a lot of power, rather. But this man does have an awesome message about love, and he says over and over again, God loves me. Well, you know what? We have to know how much he loves us, absolutely. But when it's all said and done, we're not going to be judged on how much God loves us. We're going to be judged on how much we love him. And I've heard that person say that there's too many Christians that worry too much about the flesh. That sort of threw me for a big loop. That lets me know, I got to be real careful what I say. I'm very picky who I hear. I listen to a T when I'm, and I listen to this teaching just out of respect to this person. Now, don't get me wrong. 90% of what I heard from this man was good about the love of God. I believe everything is found in the love of God. But when the whole message was God loves me, God loves me, God is love, God loves me. Yes, he does. And we have to comprehend that. But you got to be real careful with the God loves me so much, because you can go off a little bit in the darkness and come back and say, oh, God loves me so much. And if you don't know how to live a mortified life, you will never, ever reach your full potential in the love of God, because it is a war. It is an absolute war. As soon as we decide to walk in love, there's contention. Where? In the body of sin. The Apostle Paul says, I put my body under subjection every day. That lets me know that the war against the flesh is continual. And yes, God loves us so much. Yes, 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 yes. But when it's all said and done, we will be judged on how much we love him. So be real careful. Be real careful who you hear. I'm telling you, because a little leaven, what you do? Leaven's the whole lump. Deception has a beginning. It has a beginning. An absolute beginning. And this man is, from what I heard, he's good. But when I hear that, what's going to be next? After that sort of leaven. What's next in his life? Right now, I believe he's solid. And he walks in a lot more anointing than I do. But I tell you this, you got to be real careful. I've said it once, and I've heard Pastor Dave say it. I've heard Pastor Bronk say it. I won't be under any man or woman that does not pray in the Spirit. I will not. I'm sorry. I will not, because you will get caught in emotionalism. I'm telling you. So when it's all said and done, we're going to be based on how much we love him. And we have to comprehend the love of God. We have to comprehend it. Let's not put our excitement on the ability that we can pray for hours, or that we can fast, or that we can do this and that. Be real careful. You might be a distant cousin of a Pharisee if that's your righteousness. You with me on that? Your righteousness is how we live in him, him in us. Well, I'm a faster. I'm just born to be a faster. Well, and I got to check when that person told me that. About 2 or 3 years, I got to check when he told me that. And I said, I shouldn't have said he, I should have said person, but I said he, so they're not here anyway, so it doesn't matter. We got to be real careful. Our desire every day should wake up to God with all my heart. With all my heart, Lord, teach me how to love. When I behold your word, Lord, that the image of love would so saturate me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Be careful that one of the 5 limbs is not your God. Be very careful. Now, I partake of all 5 of them now. That person can't make fun of me for not fasting anymore, because I fast now. But all 5 limbs are incorporated by me for one reason, and that's to walk in the love of the Almighty God. And if we don't know what it is to walk in the love of God, how can we ever walk in it? Lest we know what walking in love is. You know, Paul said, I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and have not love. What did he say? It profits me nothing. Though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. So we're going to go back in time a little, in my old faithful 1 John, and we're going to talk about what it is to walk in the love of God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we really don't know what it is. Now, the image of love is, it's somewhere, I don't know, on a scale of 1 to 10 where it's at, but it's developing inside of me, but I still can't comprehend it, because I'm still a man of excuses sometimes. I still wear a hard hat sometimes. I'm under construction. But what do you do with the word of God that says, he that's born of God sinneth not, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, if not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. What do you do with a scripture like that? Do we really believe that scripture, that he that's born of God sinneth not? Do we really believe it? We're in the classroom. Do we really believe that scripture? Do we? I'm not setting you up. Do we really believe that scripture? Or is it sort of in the gray to us? Now, the scripture's not in the gray. Well, the word of God is God's word. But do we really, really believe that he or she that's born of God sinneth not, because his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God? Do we really, collectively, corporately believe that scripture? No, we don't. I'm speaking for myself. I don't really believe it. I know it's there, and I remember it, but the body of Christ really does not believe that scripture. Me and Nathan had a real good talk about that yesterday, I believe, and we really don't believe it. We really don't, because it hasn't been taught in 2,000 years. The kingdom of God is are teachings and doctrines of godliness, not of ungodliness. We've got to comprehend that. He said, he that's born of God sinneth not, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. And he cannot sin. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. I want to grasp that scripture, man. I want it to consume me. I want it to just saturate my being. And I'm on my way to understanding it. Because if there's anything I want to do in this world, and that's walk in the love of God. And if I can't walk in the love of God towards my brethren, I'm going to have a heck of a time loving my enemies. And that's my desire. I have shortcomings in my life, and they make me mad. They make me mad. I don't excuse them. Pastor Dave said, and I didn't agree with it for years. I didn't agree with it for years. There's very few things that Pastor Dave's ever said that I disagree with, but he was right and I was wrong. He used to say that the Lord will walk through hell with you. You know, what was that? If you have a stronghold, or what did he used to say? And you don't, exactly. And he'll walk through hell with you with a problem as long as you don't justify it. Something like that is what he said. Yeah, something's what he said. Well, let me share something with you. And I'm going to get to the message in a little bit. I feel a little calm today. I'm never calm when I teach. I'm calm today. I feel the teacher a little bit. Let's say I have a problem in my life. And I beg you, listen. I want to walk you into the love of God. I want to give you the biblical definition. I want to give you truth of what it is to walk in the love of God, defined by the Apostle John in the book of 1 John. Let's say you got a Christian that struggled, man or woman, with an issue. And we're in the classroom a little bit. We're in the classroom. And I'm going to use myself. That way my mind's on nobody else. Nobody can say you're talking about me. No, I'm going to judge myself. Judge myself. The problem that I had with pornography years ago. I had this problem with pornography, and it hung on to me for a while. And I would cry. I would say things like, God, there's got to be so much more. There's got to be so much more. So let's say I had this problem going back. And by the way, I don't have that problem anymore. Thank God. I love my wife with all my heart. And when I lay with my wife, I lay with my wife. And that's it. That's the way it should be. But let's say I had this problem, that I did have this problem in my marriage. And let's say I went to Pastor Bronk. And remember, we're after the love of God. And we're going to get there in a little bit. I said, Pastor Bronk, I got this problem. But I want to be completely honest with you about this problem. So I have this problem in my life. And I came back to him 4 or 5 straight years. Pastor Bronk, I still got this problem. Okay, Homer. Well, you know what to do. It's still there. Now, if I told Pastor Bronk on day one of the first year that I had this problem, and if I came back on the last day of the sixth year with the same problem, Pastor Bronk, it's still there. And if I told, now this line sounds real good. Well, I just want to be honest with you about my problem. I want to be honest with you about a lying life that I'm living. Now, if I'm giving Pastor Bronk that I'm so honest about the darkness in my life, yet for those 6 years, I do nothing about that darkness in my life, am I justifying that sin? Again, here we go again. Day one of year one, last day of the sixth year of the same problem that I have, but I come to Pastor Bronk. I got this problem in my life, Pastor Bronk. I've been battling this problem for 6 years. Yet in that 6 year span, I am never, ever consistent in my quiet times. I don't give myself over to the Holy Ghost. I don't worship. I don't read the Bible. Am I justifying that sin in my life? Absolutely right. I am justifying, even in what seems to be a sign of honesty regarding my darkness. That, my friends, is deception. That is absolute blindness. But what about if on day one of the first year, Pastor Bronk, I can't take it no more, man. I got this problem in my life and I need help. This is what you do, Homer. Go saturate yourself in Matthew 6, 7, and 8. Pray in tongues. Homer, if you mess up again with pornography, keep plowing, boy. Okay, Pastor Bronk, I will. What it took me a long time to overcome, I give to the body of Christ in victory. Because I battled this for a long time. But I never stopped, even when I slipped back into that darkness. I never stopped. Though I would mess up again with pornography, I never stopped. I never stopped my relationship with God. I never stopped going through Romans 6, 7, and 8. I never stopped going through the prodigal son, the parable of it, knowing that God loved me, and I never stopped. Did I justify my sin? Absolutely not, because I was doing something about it. That's the thing. We have to do something. You can't sit there idle just acknowledging what you have just to make yourself feel better about the darkness that you walk in, because you're honest about that darkness. No, no. If you really want to be honest about that darkness, yes, acknowledge that darkness, but do something about it. If not, it is complete hypocrisy, because you're doing nothing about it. You're feeling better about yourself, confessing it to someone to feel better about yourself, my friend. Can a person that walks in habitual sin walk in the love of God? Absolutely not. The church doesn't know what it is to walk in love. Can I? What did Jesus say? If you love me, what did he say? Keep my commandments. He was talking to the 12. He was sitting down having a meal with the 12. If you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, love is not an embrace, hugging someone at the altar. Love is not crying during worship. That's not love. One thing defines the love of God and God. One thing in the new covenant defines what it is for a man or a woman to walk in love. One thing validates whether me and you walk in love. Nothing, emotionalism, talking about love doesn't, fasting, praying, reading, those are all things that we do to walk in the love of God, but that isn't the love of God. One thing defines me and you, validates the fact or the truth that me and you walk in love, is that we keep his commandments. Nothing else. I've made the mistake in the youth ministry where young people used to come up and give it all at the altar and just worship. I said, my God, that young lady, that young man, they love Jesus. They will last 6 months and go back into the world. One thing gives us a clear definition of what it is to walk in the love of God, and that's to keep his commandments. One thing, nothing else. Do not fool yourself. One thing is the measuring stick to how Homer, Kirsten, Carl, Ralph, one thing, and that is, do we keep his commandments? It's easy to keep the commandments when we feel like it. It's another thing to keep them when we don't feel like it. But even when we don't feel like it, there is no gray area there. We are to keep the love of God, which is keeping his commandments. Nothing else, nothing else in the scripture defines what it is for a man or a woman to walk in the love of God, but he or she that keeps the commandments of God. Nothing else. You can't find it. Don't even try looking, because nothing else validates that truth. Either you keep them or you don't. Our desire is to keep them even under the knife. It's easy to keep them when there's money in the bank, when the wife loves you, when the car is bigger, when the house is bigger, when you got 20/20 eyesight. It's easy. So easy. Oh God, you're so good, God. But then affliction and persecution comes for the word's sake. That's when you know what you're made out of. When mama leaves a house, when daddy leaves a house, when one of your children leaves the world early, when something comes, that's when we know who we are in God. That, let me rephrase that. That's when we know how much we love God in adversity. Walking in the love of God is, and I say it in this order because that's the way Galatians 5, 21 or 22 says it, not committing adultery is what? The whole message is about love. Not committing adultery is what? Not walking in the love of God. Living in fornication is what? It's not walking in the love of God. Walking in strife or lasciviousness is what? Not walking in the love of God. Revelings or drunkenness. These are the things that the body of Christ is walking in, yet we have no conviction about posting God's love on Facebook. we don't have a concept in the modern day church of what it is to walk in the love of God. You can be a homosexual, and I have nothing against homo. I can hug one and embrace one. You can be in an open relationship now, and on Facebook, quote the scriptures with no conviction. The kingdom of God is about godliness, not about ungodliness. We don't know what it is to walk in the love of the Almighty God. That's why there is no revival. But thank God we are taught so well here on how to embrace the Lamb of God. Amen. So tonight we're going to take a journey in this love, the biblical definition of what love is. Love isn't anything else but a man or a woman keeping the commandments of God when all the time, even in adversity. That's where you know where we are in God when adversity comes. Are we going to stay in there and know that there's a harvest out there that is dependent on me and you? The Father's dependent on me and you to walk in His love. He says in 1 John chapter 4, He said, no man has seen God, what? At any time. Listen to this. John said, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, He said, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Listen to what He said. Homer, no man has seen God at any time. If God so loved us, it almost seems like it doesn't fit the context. No man has seen God at any time. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If no man has seen God at any time, then what do I have to do with the equation? He said, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. God's love was demonstrated to me and you through a man that had a body of sin. That man had to live a life of self-denial, a crucified life for the love of God that was inside of him to be manifested externally. Are you with me? Christ had to lay down His life in every situation, in every argument or accusation against Him. He had to have this mindset, I'm laying down my life, Father. I'm going to keep Your word. I won't deviate from truth. That's the only way that, He said, no man has seen God anything. We have so much to do with the world seeing God by what? By our conduct. Will we lay down our life? Will we do those things that are pleasing in His sight so that the love of God that lives in us will be externally manifested to the world? We have everything to do with the manifestation of God's love. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, when we love one another, God is seen in us. No man has seen God at any time, Miss Rosie, but if you lay down your life, Miss Rosie, if you lay down your life, Kirsten, if you live clean and holy before me, no man has seen God in time. But if you love one another, God's love is perfected in us. If you lay down your life, the God that no one has seen will see Him in you. If you lay down your life. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. People that haven't seen God, yet God dwells in us. We lay down our life, and guess what? They'll say, my God, that Frankie, that Kirsten, there's something about them. They walk in this love. Yes, what they saw was God in you. What did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. You know what that word perfected means in the Greek? How it can mean? Anybody want to give it a shot? What's that? Mature? Or it means consummate. You guys know what consummate means? It's what a man and a woman do when I gotta keep PG version of this. When a man and woman get married, they don't get married to play tic-tac-toe. There's gonna be something that they do after they say, after that man pulls that veil over that beautiful bride's face. She looks at him in the eye. I waited my whole life for you. And they have contact with each other. That's what consummate means. It solidifies their marriage. Isn't it amazing that John would use this analogy? Me and you, born again, born of God. God loves us so much. But if we don't walk in love, we're like a husband and a wife that have no relations. But when we walk in this love, that love is mature, it's perfected in us. The God that lives in us will be seen externally. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, if it's a choice, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Man and a woman, they say I do, and they enjoy themselves in with each other to the rest of their life. That's what a marriage is. Not just that, but that's what married people do, because they love each other. And he used that analogy, that word describing what lives inside. Me and you got this love, the eternal life, the nature of God inside of us, yet it can be there, dormant inside of us, because we never choose to lay down our life and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. My friends, I know you're here in a rainy day. Most of you live out of town and you're here. I know you desire to walk in the love of God. If we don't walk in the love of God, this world does not have a chance. God wants his love to be manifested, but it's manifested as me and you lay down our life and we do all those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's what he's after. 1 John chapter 5. John says this, and I'm gonna show you how to walk in the love of God now. See, he that believeth that Jesus, that's 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that, listen to this. This is how we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. And notice he's redundant here. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments, they're not grievous. For he that's born of God overcometh the world. Listen to what he said. He that's born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ? He said, by this we know, we the beloved. This is how we know, we those that have eternal life abiding in them. This is how we know that we love the children of God. John says, this is how we know, the beloved, that we love the children of God. When we love God and what? And keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. One thing qualifies me to love you. One thing is that I would keep the commandments of God. And he said, and they're not a burden to us because they're written in our heart. Outside of walking according to that law of liberty, or looking into our heart and hearing God's word and doing it, we don't walk in love. We don't walk in love. Walking in love is, Father, they hurt me. They stole from me. This man tried to take my wife from me. This man ran over one of my children. This person treated me bad, Lord. Bless you. This person sneezed when I was preaching, Lord. I'm just playing, that's a joke. What does that have to do with his commandment? We've been instructed, no matter what's at hand, no matter what the affliction is, no matter what the persecution is, a person that loves God will keep his word even when he or she does not feel like it, knowing what's at hand. Well, what's at hand, Homer? A harvest. A harvest that can only be won by men and women, that can only be won over by men and women that walk in the love of God. Walking in love means one thing. Is it his commandments? They're not a burden to us, because he that's born of God overcometh the world. Instantaneously, at the rebirth, the word of God was written in our heart. And that is what we live by, the word of God. And our love is measured in the eyes of God by how we keep his commandments. Nothing else defines what it is to walk in love. I don't care if you can articulate. I don't care how beautiful your voice is. How do we live in adversity? How do we live when the cupboard is empty? How do we live when Miss Rosie breaks up my home and goes and shacks up with another man? How does Homer react? Will Homer give in to that? Or will he stand firm in the conviction and power of the Holy Ghost and let his light shine like a city set on a hill? Or will he allow himself to be fragmented, broken down into pieces? Will we stand firm in adversity, or will we allow our light to shine like a city set on a hill? Walking in the love of God means one thing: to keep his commandments. When? At all times. Even when it hurts. And sometimes it hurts because our flesh barks like a dang pit bull. It barks a false narrative, an ideology that seems more realistic than God's word inside of our heart. It seems, because it's dogmatic, it doesn't stop. Say it. Respond. Say it. Respond. Say it. Respond. And it seems that God's word inside of us doesn't even want to talk at the time. But we have to know what it is to walk in the love of God. Lord, I feel my flesh. It won't shut up. It's consuming my emotion, Lord. But the love of God is that we keep his commandments above and during that emotional time. It's so easy to do what's right when you feel like it. You think about what it is to walk in love, that Jesus in Luke 21 or 22, even in pain and agony, as he hung on the cross, took one more home with him as he uttered his last breath. A man that knew sin his whole life was crucified next to him. He took one more home because he didn't sell out his testimony, and he still remained in the commandments of God and took one more home with him, never deviating from the eternal life that lived inside of him. He that's born of God sinneth not, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In what I just said, are the children of God manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. If we don't walk in love with eternal life abiding in us, the world doesn't walk in love because they don't have eternal life. 1 John chapter 4 says they're murderers. Or 1 John chapter 3 says, no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. When we have eternal life abiding in us and we don't walk in love, where's the differential from a saint to a sinner? Are you with me on that? Where's the differential at? Lest we learn how to live crucified lives and do those things that are pleasing to our Father. I always do those things that are pleasing to my Father, Jesus said. I always do those things. I'm here on earth, born of God. He's my Father, but I have one agenda, and my agenda is His will. That's my agenda, Jesus said. What I speak of my Father. The works that I work, they're the works of my Father. If you love me, Carl, keep my commandments. But Lord, Carl, if you love me, keep my commandments. But Lord, if you love me, keep my commandments. He that's born of God sinneth not. Are you trying to tell me, Homer, we can above sin? No, I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm just repeating what John said. I'm not giving you an opinion. The Bible says he that's born of God sinneth not. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I don't believe that, Homer. That's not my problem. That's your problem. And I guarantee you, if you want to argue with that verse, you're walking in the gray. I guarantee you, you are. Gray is a lighter color than darkness. You're right there around the corner. I guarantee you, there's compromise in your life. 75 years it took him to write 5 chapters, and he mentioned the word love 28 times, I believe. Beloved, let us love one another. For he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. He said, and this was manifested, the love of God towards us. Christ laid down his life for us to demonstrate the love of God that was in him, so that an external manifestation of that internal love in him would be shown to the world. Christ in his humanity laid down his life. Homer, Kirsten, Terry, Ralph, Marsha, Rex, Malene, we are in our humanity to lay down our life so that the love of God in our heart would be made manifest to the world, even if we're facing death. Even when a knife is put at our throat, we don't have a right. We're born of God. The agenda and the platform that we have is the kingdom of God. Nothing else. He that's born of God, listen to this. It's becoming real to me, but it's still not real. If we can grasp 1 John, if we can grasp it and walk in it, it'll be nothing. It'll be nothing. To walk to that beard or that coffin, it will be nothing. As a young man, I say unto you, arise. The girl that was killed a while back in a car accident, my daughter-in-law's sister. Right? I said that right, baby? Yeah, my daughter-in-law's sister, yeah. Her daughter was at the house, the young lady that's deceased now. Her little girl was at the house. And I'll tell you, I love being real truthful with everybody, because a lot of people think that, God, if I just had the time that Homer and Pastor Bronk had, it's just glorious what they do. You know what? There's a lot more non-glorious feelings in that room than there is glorious feelings. A lot more. I wish it would change. But I'll say this in winding down. That little girl was at our house the other day, and my daughter-in-law said, Miss Rose, you want to take What's her name again, baby? Anyway, okay, the little girl named, forget her name. She said, can I go with y'all? I said, yeah, we can go with her. Well, I said, we're going to the store. She said, can you buy me something? I said, yeah, baby, we'll buy you something. And she walked, and it's been a rough 4 or 5 months for me. It's been rough. But with progression. You know what I mean? That little girl walked in front of me. My wife said, be careful, she's in front of you. I touched her head. And I had been in such a dry time. And I get relief sometimes, you know. He'll come and he'll visit me. He'll come visit me. And I touched her head. And I heard her, that little girl, say 2 weeks ago, my mommy's in the sky now. My mommy's in the sky. And I touched her head about a week ago. And the compassion of the Almighty God come upon me so strong. I got in the car, couldn't even talk. I just touched her head. I didn't say nothing to her. And the compassion of God come in me so strong. And I began to say, Lord, I know for the last 4 or 5, 6 months I haven't felt you much in there. But what I felt for that little girl, I know was a fruit of that dry time in that prayer closet. I know it was a fruit of that, Lord. So forgive me for ever complaining about not feeling you. There's a compassion that has to grow in us, but it only comes through obedience to his word. Souls, and now it's good that I touched the little girl and that I felt the mercy of God, but God, you know what would have been better? You know what would have been better? If I could have told my daughter-in-law, where's your sister at? Well, they took her already. Come on. Let's go. See, this is crazy talk because it's far from us. We're drawing near to it, but it's still a distance from us. But we know how to get there, right? What would have been hundredfold, Miss Kirsten? What would have been hundredfold? Amber Lee, where's your sister at? Well, she's still at the site, Mr. Homer. Why? Take me to her. Now, this is the heart of God now. This is the gospel of the kingdom. This is the gospel of the kingdom. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Where's she at? She's over there wrapped around the pole, Mr. Homer. Why? Take me to her. Why, Mr. Homer? Take me to her. This is the gospel of the kingdom. I know I'm a crybaby. I know it. It's not that I'm a crybaby. I've just been overly healed from dry eye syndrome. That was a joke. Where's she at, Amber Lee? Her car's wrapped around the post, Mr. Homer. Just get me to her. Excuse me, Mr. Highway Patrol, you have to move. Excuse me, Mr. EMS worker. Take the sheet, the cover, from over her face. Why, sir? I'm going to show you the works of my Father. I'm going to show you the works of the kingdom. Amy, I say to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise. If the kingdom of God is just words, I'd rather quit, Miss Terry. I'd rather quit. I felt something so special that day for that little girl. Whether it's tenfold, 20-fold, I don't know. But a comprehension of the love of God is what I'm after. The mercy and the compassion of the Almighty God, manifested through Jesus Christ in humanity, it can sure be manifested through me and you. As we search and seek and strive every day, every moment, to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You know, in obedience, there's confidence. If there's no obedience in your life, you have no confidence. You don't even have confidence that He exists sometimes. We're confident in obedience that His will can be done. The kingdom of God is about godliness, not ungodliness. It's not about me and you being heard or seen. It's about Him being heard and seen. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I always do those things that are pleasing in my Father's sight. We were born for this. We were born for this. Being a light of the earth is only sharing a scripture with somebody, then we're believing a fragmented gospel. When Jesus in John 8 told the woman to go sin no more, what did He say after that? He that followed me shall have the light, or the light of life. They shall not abide in darkness anymore. He used that word light when it come to one giving their life to Him. The same word light was used when He opened the eyes of a blind man. Are you with me on that? He used the word light when He told the lady to go and sin no more. He said, I'm the light of this world, also when He opened the eyes of the blind. We have limited that word light. We have cut it in half to words. To words. Do you think somebody wants to hear me when their baby had their head cut off by an Islamic terrorist? You think they want to hear my words? Well, ma'am, I just want to tell you about Jesus. And that's good. I'm not diminishing salvation. God knows that's what it's all about. Or do you think that mama would rather me or Terry or Ralph or Marty or Gay or Alex or Natalie say, hey, weep not. Weep not. And we go to that person. I wouldn't even know how to say it. Head and go back to your body. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be made whole. That, my friends, is the gospel of the kingdom. That, my friends, is the gospel of the kingdom. Walking in love and working the works of the Father. Either I am extremely boring tonight, or the Holy Ghost is ministering to you. One of the two. Walking in love is not an emotion. Walking in love is not crying at the altar. Walking in love is when a man or woman decides, come hell or high water, Lord, I will not sell out my testimony. I won't sell it, Lord. There is a harvest at hand, and I will take it till the end. I use love when I'm on the treadmill sometimes. When it's real hot. And I used to be able to do 6 miles in an hour on the treadmill. But I use that determination and the striving of my heart to walk in love when I get tired on that treadmill. You committed to do this many miles in this heat. Finish them, boy. Finish them. I'm huffing and puffing. I strive to finish what I set my mind to do. And if it's okay with you, co-laboring with you in the Holy Ghost, let's finish, man. Let's finish. It'll get hard sometimes. It'll get hard. But a false narrative is that we're sinners saved by grace. As long as we believe that, we'll live in the gray the rest of our lives. Nowhere, nowhere, nowhere. I don't care what theology says. I don't care what fundamentalists say. I could care less. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that we are sinners saved by grace. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we did it because we're only human. You're not only human. You're born of a spiritual DNA from heaven. You are a citizen of heaven here for a season. If you're still only human, then you're not born again. You are not born again if you say, well, I did it because I'm human. No. You're not born again because you are a spiritual being. You're wearing a human suit, but you have a treasure hidden in earthen vessel. I'm in. And you are too. Rex and Marsha traveling 35 miles one way. Terry, Kirsten live out in the boondocks. Frankie, you're here. You don't think Jesus wanted more than 12 apostles? You don't think he wanted more than that? Sure he did. But very few will lay down their life so that the love of God will be made manifest externally. Very few. Because it does cost you. See, I'm okay being persecuted for Christ's sake. We're okay with that. We're okay with that. If I'm walking in love and not deviating from the truth, actually we're told to count it all joy. But I don't want to be hated by the world because I act like them. See, the world, if we do right, they're going to hate us. If we're born again, they're just waiting for us to do wrong so they can hate us even more. If we preach truth, they're going to hate us. If we say we're Christians and we don't walk in love, they're going to hate us even more, so we might as well just walk in love anyway. We might as well. If someone's not going to give their life to Jesus, let it be because they didn't want him. Don't let it be because they didn't see God in me. Let it be because they completely were blinded to the truth and wanted nothing to do with God. Don't let it be because of my faults. Let it be because they want nothing to do with him. Don't let it be because they didn't see God in me. Don't let it be because I didn't live a self-denied life, a crucified life, saying, Father, I don't care what they say, what they did, I will not deviate from your love, Father. Let it be because they wanted nothing to do with him. Don't let it be because of my inconsistencies, hypocrisy, and partiality. Let it be because they wanted nothing to do with the Lamb of God and nothing to do with my conduct. That man that stood on the right-hand side of Jesus when he was being crucified, the one in the middle, can you imagine what he woke up to in glory? And the other one who heard the same things that Jesus said, what he woke up to? Judgment waiting for a lake of fire to consume him? He didn't give his love to Jesus because Jesus didn't walk in love. He didn't give his life to Jesus because he didn't want to. If the world wants nothing to do with Christianity, let it be because they don't want it. Don't let it be because they see ugliness in me and you. Because he that's born of God sinneth not, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Let's walk in that perfected love. A man and a woman, when they are married, they have relations because they love each other. That love is perfected in that. Me and you, the love of God's perfected in me and you, and we walk according to what lives inside of us. That is what he's looking for. Male or female. Or female or male. Will we be the ones that do those things that are pleasing in his sight? Or will we be a dime a dozen believer that only cares about himself or herself? I say you're different. I say you want more. Because you're here. I'm going to urge you. I'm done in the last minute. Read the book of 2 John. 20-something verses. Read the book of 2. It's so simple. You can even feel like a giant and say, I read it 30 times today. Read the book of 2 John. 2 John will allow you and help you break one chapter. That's all 2 John is. If you go through it, it will help you understand the 5 difficult chapters in the book of 1 John. 1 John has... yeah. 20 years, Ralph. 20 years of going through that book. 20 years. Beloved, let us love one another. The man leaned on Jesus' bosom and dying age, all he could say was, let us love one another. Adam of Patmos died in the island of Patmos. Hard labor. For what I understand, that's when he wrote this masterpiece. And John wrote to the body of Christ not what he heard from someone else. John wrote what was spoken to him by the Lamb of God. Capture that. He didn't write secondhand information. He didn't get with Terry and Terry told him what to write. He wrote what was spoken to him by God in the flesh. 5 books of love. We owe it some respect. We owe the world some respect. To love according to the love of God that's in us. Amen. I'm going to put out the buckets, Alex, or Carl. Or hallelujah. Amen. What time is it, baby? Hey. Hallelujah. Were you edified? We're going to strive to walk in love. We already are, right? I feel real good. I think we're going to continue Sunday morning in the love of God. And again, I'm going to minister next week. I think we might stay on the love of God for a while because that's all I want to do, man. Do you fail sometimes, Homer? That's my wife. She lives with me. But I hate it. I've concluded. I might blame her for 5 minutes. But the 6th minute, I know it all comes back to me. Because she can't control my peace. 99% of what she does, it's never her fault. It's always me. She knows. She knows, though. Daddy loves Big Mama, though. She knows I love her. She is my best friend. Best friend. We can turn a big gulp of boiled peanuts and a diet soda into a date and have fun. She is my best friend. The rebirth has changed me, and so has Miss Rosie. Glory. Father, we bless you. We thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your word, Father. For the Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for what we're taught. We thank you so much for this man of God named Pastor Dave Roberson that through the Holy Ghost, Father, taught us how to assimilate and meditate the scriptures. He taught us what praying in the Spirit would do. He taught us what fasting. Thank you, Lord. And we pray for him right now in Jesus' name. Pastor Dave, come on now. Come on. You started this. We'll finish behind you. Come on. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Be made whole, sir. In Jesus' name. Prepare your hearts to give this evening. I didn't yell today, did I? Wow. Prepare your heart. Stand with me, please. Father, we thank you so much for the offering we're about to receive. Father, we thank you indeed, Lord. It is sown in good ground, Father. I thank you, Father, for those that are here, Father. I asked certain women to pray for me, and I'm sure they did, Father. I felt you today, Father, and teacher. I felt you, Lord. I felt you today, Lord. And I know my prayer to them, my petition to them was that they just pray that I just heed the Holy Ghost, Father, and present love in love, Lord, and not in condemnation, but in love. And I thank you, Father, that we all are so co-equal as we co-labor together in you, Father, to display so that a manifestation of your kingdom would be seen and felt, Father. We could take millions and millions of home with us, Father. So we thank you so much for everyone here, every man, woman. I don't know who's here. I don't know who isn't here, Father, but I thank you that they came out, Father. I thank you, Father, that a grace, a fire, and a hunger and a desire would be for them to consume God's word, to consume it, to change their thought process, to completely change it, Father. And I thank you for this offering we're about to receive, Father. And one more tidbit of that, Father. I heard a man say last night that someone made fun of him because he prayed in tongues too much. They said, if you pray in tongues, you're going to lose your mind. And that man in return says, thank God I'm losing my mind. I get to walk in the mind of Christ. And that's what we're after, Father. I pray that I lose my mind, Father, and that I walk in the hundredfold mind of Christ, Father. And we thank you for it, Father. I worship you, Jesus. Be safe on the way home. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you Sunday.